Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Hoping you had a really good weekend. You found plenty of winners at the track as well. We had some spectacular racing at Rosehill Gardens. Yes, there might have been a bias to the horses that were up on the speed, but good luck to them. And now the Dulcify. Well, Castle Vecchio, terrific run from last to be fourth. True Detective was the beaten favourite. Didn't quite fire, but others did right throughout the day. The likes of Bivouac with blinkers back on was simply brilliant. But Exceedance was still good, and yes, 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 an eyecatcher along with a horse called Kubrick. And then down in Melbourne, we saw one of the big upsets in racing with Maccabi Diva. Over 1,600 metres, Mystic Journey, some would say the best horse in the land, was humbled by a 100-1 shot. A horse called Gatting out of a sire called Hard Spun. And with the Ashes going on over in the UK, or in fact just concluded over in the UK, maybe it was the omen bet at 100-1 or 150-1, trained by Darren McAuliffe out of the West. So WA Gallopers, they struck gold in both New South Wales and also in Victoria. Good morning to you, Ronnie Duffersey.
Yeah, good morning, TK. It was a terrific day's racing all round, wasn't it? So some highlights on the day, there's no doubt about that. We saw some great racing with, you know, Just Thinking taking control of the Dulcify. And those, I don't know whether the Golden Rose pictures too much clearer. Yeah. All I know is those top four across the line are all in contention. You could make cases. It'll be beauty in the eye of the beholder, yeah, there, as far as the first four across the line. But I think they might be the big four. Acadia Queen, well, she resumed with a bang there. There's no doubt about that. And obviously there were some impressive winners in Melbourne as well.
And Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au, a rejigging of a lot of markets over the weekend. Good morning, mate.
Morning, TJ. How are you?
I got that earlier.
Oh, yeah, then you straight back with a bloke champ. You champed the bloke. Yeah. So that was really good there.
He wasn't winning the $100 voucher, though, was he?
He was in front, TK, and he got nutted right on the line. He was probably a good chance of getting some coin out of you, but you just give him a nice little basil brush.
One right fatal blue he made.
Yes. Now, TK, yeah, there was quite a rejigging of markets, and the Golden Rose being one of them. And people might say, I know Ronnie and I commented straight after the race that, geez, you know, they all basically firmed, yeah, the three placings, yeah, across the line. But how many runners are we going to get in the Golden Rose? That's the main thing. And you've still only got, 350 each of two Bivouac in Exceedance, which is 56%. Yes, 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 $4.50, which is 22. That's 78%. Kubrick, the next pick, is an $11 chance. That's 9. That's 87%. And then your question marks for the rest. Well, whether or not Castle Vecchio, who's the next pick at $15, will want to come back 100 metres to run in the Golden Rose after he resumed 1,500, and he still couldn't keep up in a 1,500. How's he going to keep up in a 1,400? You get him at 15, and then you get straight to $26, and one of those $26 is Flit, who's taking on Libertini this week. Another one is Funstar, who'll take on Libertini this week. True Detective, Super Seth, Prince Fawaz, and Dubious. So, you know, that's why it's so tight at the top, and that mightn't be enough to have them as short as they could possibly be.
That might be the case. We'll get your feedback on 13 53 53 text messages, 0419 767 272. And joining us from Melbourne is David Gately. G'day, Gator.
Very good morning, team. Yeah, it was a bit of a separation of the wheat and the chaff, if you like, wasn't there on Saturday in both states, Melbourne and Sydney. There are a couple of super fast races, Acadia Queen, Bivouac, out of Rose Hill, and the Maccabi Diva was running very fast time, as was Zutori later in the day. So if you're a fan of the clock, they're the races that were absolute elite.
What about the WA form, mate? Gatting at 100-1, 150 on the tote. It's a great story. Darren McAuliffe brought across from Perth, Jamie Carr, her second of her Group 1 victories now, but there was a terrific story I saw with the young Strapper, who's a jockey over there in WA. Darren sort of said, well, look, what do you think? I need someone to look after the horse. Would you be available for a few weeks? She thought, oh, well, why not? You know, my book of rides isn't so great. So she's come across and she said she was the only person at Flemington cheering.
Yeah, I think sort of a bit of tumbleweed action through through Flemington. But, look, the win had a lot of merit. They chased a really strong speed, even by Group 1 standard. Travelled well, held off Mystic Journey. And, you know, saw some good runs behind. But, look, he was terrific. He's run 133.97. The track record long-standing is 133.49. So near four lengths above Group 1 standard. So a lot to like about the win. You know, take the price out of it. I'm taking it at face value. And it obviously, you know, Frank's that former and the Galaxy Star, which ties in with Arcadia Queen, and the horse who finished down the track, Scales of Justice. So if you look deep enough, it's all intertwined, isn't it?
All right. Well, Mystic Journeys, it's still the best horse in the country. It's still the favourite for the WS Cox Plate to be staged. And there's another horse that's firmed in that market called Mr. Quickie, who you couldn't miss from back in the pack, Gator.
No, I thought he was the run of the day, Mr. Quickie. Just an outstanding finale. Home 1080, he was equal fastest of the day with Zutori, who was running over 1,200 metres earlier in the day in another really fast race. So it was impossible to miss. But Mystic Journey didn't lose any admirers for me. She had every chance, sure, in the run. She loomed to win, just couldn't reel in Gadding, who'd had the match fitness advantage. She was second up, month between runs. No, I'm not dropping off yet.
And we should pay homage to the jockey Jay McNaught over there. Won six, she did, at Belmont. Of the nine races, Willie Pike only rode one, Duff.
Incredible, incredible situation that. She's come out and had a blinder of a day and downsized Willie on the day, that's for sure. So she come from nowhere, obviously had a good book of rides and she capitalized on them.
But just imagine the pressure because she rode the last favourite. She'd ridden five winners. The second last winner was a 20-1 chance, Neurological. And she's sitting in the jockey's room there. She actually didn't even think, you know, she'd won on Neurological. She had to ask someone when they went past the post had she won. So that's rung up five wins. And then she goes back in the jockey's room. She's got to get ready and walk out for the last race, knowing full well she's on the favourite to ride six winners on the day. And it's never, ever been done, you know, for an apprentice to ride six winners on a metropolitan program in Perth. And, you know, she was basically as cool as a cucumber on it. Just come sailing down.
Well done.
And just went, thanks very much, ta-ta, and there's six for the day.
Were they mostly in the market, Glenn?
I only get home for the last two races, TK, but as I said, the second last winner was 20-1 and the last winner was favourite.
I've been punched around the head enough by then, but well done to them. What about this? I will get to the races we witnessed on the weekend, but next week, Roddy, we've got the George Main, the T Rose, the Kingston Town, the Bill Ritchie, and the shorts, Santa and Elaine, Pierrada lining up, Osborne Bulls, Red Zell, Classique Legend, Sunlight Graff.
Incredible field as far as...
pretty good, isn't it?
Looking forward. That's a great shorts, isn't it? And obviously we got them other races that you're speaking about and some of those pre-post markets had come out today. And so I think the edge for the all-in markets today is maybe looking at something that might handle a wet. You're our forecast man, but
yes, I am.
I'm looking at 20 to 45 millimetres tomorrow and 15 mils on Wednesdays. And we know Randwick's not drying out the best. So if I'm having an all-in bet today, I'm going to be looking a little perv at the at their wet track ability before I lay any money down.
Speaking about this markets, the Colgate Optic White, the shorts and the T-Rose will be all in markets today, as will the Sir Rupert Clark and the MRC Foundation Cup, those two races at Caulfield. So you've got a Group 1 Sir Rupert Stakes, Sir Rupert Clark Stakes, and the MRC Foundation. The winner qualifies for the Caulfield Cup in that race. So there's five very, very important races that'll be all in as of today.
I'm not going to knock the rain. I certainly hope we get the rain. Not only hope we get it on the coast, I hope it goes over to the west as well, which is desperately dry in the state of New South Wales, and they're not really going to get a drying day, Ronnie.
Well, it won't matter. It wouldn't matter if it rains on Tuesday and they get 45 mils. You'd have 30 degrees every day and Randwick will still be wet Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be soft. Yeah, for sure. So does that give a horse like Pirata an edge? Because he's had a run back and I think he's got a bit of wet form. It'd be probably without getting right into their wet track form.
Yep. What did you make of Bivouac Gator? I always think, always forgive a good horse a bad run, particularly on a heavy track. And, geez, it turned out to be the case. And the taking of the blinkers off worked a treat for Bivouac.
Yeah, that's right. It was an outstanding win. Both of his wins on top of the ground this prep have been just that, outstanding. And, again, just like he did first up at Caulfield, just super fast time. I mean, these are obviously absolute elite three-year-olds. He's actually run 7.5 lengths above the Group 2 average in running 1.872, gave the track record a bit of a scare as well. So, look, it's, for me and him, look, I tipped him first up at Caulfield. I'll put my hand up there. Yep. But then it's been like watching a dog chase its tail ever since. I tipped him second up, then jumped two exceedance this week, and they keep dodging me.
Now, Gator, Ronnie and I discussed this on Saturday after the race, and you're our ratings man and quantifiable figures and everything like that. Now, we've seen Bivouac. He comes back, first run back from a spell at Caulfield, runs a peak performance, blows the watch apart. Goes to his second up run at Rosehill, substandard to his first up run.
On a heavy track.
And he's got the bounce back factor on Saturday. Exceedance breaks the watch first up, can't back up that second up. So we're looking at Exceedance now for the bounce back factor his next run.
Look, I still think he's the likely Golden Rose winner if they go that way. 1400 just looks absolutely ideal. He built his speed really well. In fact, his 11-10 home was bettered only by one horse all day, and that was Castelvecchia. Now, these two are, in their short careers to date, famous for producing this late speed. And what it does, history tells you, they end up Group 1 winners, these sort of horses that are able to produce this elite closing speed. So I would expect, if the race was run next Saturday, over 1,400, I'd be in corner Exceedance to answer your question.
And then we're going to factor in the Chris Waller timing with his two colts there, who were definitely above themselves and didn't have the residual fitness of the Bivouacs and Exceedance. Is Yes, Yes, Yes and Kubrick, who was big and fresh, and they will both come out of this race with flying colours and improve, and the 1400 will definitely suit them better. So if we factor all that in, we're in for one special little contest. You know, it's not over yet. That's a great lead up, and it's going to be a great grand final.
Yeah, it's enormous. Exceedance's last 100 was really good, wasn't it, Ronnie?
It was.
I know it came third, but still.
Yeah, and he probably wandered out to probably a length worse going where he was compared to Bivouac, and it was a... there's talk that maybe they might fiddle with some gear on him, which is dangerous going into a grand final with, you know, a set of blinkers just to keep him a little bit closer. But does he need them at 1,400 if we're looking at a small field? So, look, they're experts in their field, Team Hawks. They'll sort all that out, whether they try a set of blinkers on him at home or winkers. They like fiddling with winkers as well. Or they'll just leave him clean. So I'm interested in moves there as far as little fiddling with gears concerned.
Okay. 13:53:53, what would you do and what run did you like the best? Bivouac, Exceedance, Yes, 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 and Kubrick was steaming home. Or we'll take your feedback on the open line and text messages 0419 767 272. Little bit of a personal note here, Ronnie, so don't be embarrassed, but I'm wondering if there's some trouble at home with you and Cheryl, because I think there's a little bit of a love affair with Arcadia Queen. Is Arcadia Queen going to become between the both of you?
There's no reason that she shouldn't be. She's a star.
She
is a star. You know, you were saying Mystic Journey's the best horse in the land
at
the
moment. I think.
Yeah, well, I could argue that Arcadia Queen is a. No, I'm not saying they're not both good mares, but I could argue Arcadia Queen's a better mare.
Yeah. Thoughts, Glenn? We saw Trope come storming from the back of the field again. Only had one win out of six starts, Trope. Its pattern of racing doesn't help. Although I see the stable just keep saying, Glenn, can't draw a barrier, can't draw a barrier. So Trope is probably capable of racing much closer.
Yeah, but if and when that does happen, he did draw a barrier four in a field of nine in the Hawkesbury Guineas, and he still couldn't keep up.
That's what I'm saying.
He was tardy away that day. You know, there's some horses, TK, you know, whether they draw inside or outside, their racing pattern is to normally be back. Perfect case. And when you do try and ride them probably upside down, there was Dawn Passage on Saturday. Three starts. He's been back in the field every time, and he's been dominant. They decide to, you know, get him going and get him on and chasing and closer to the lead on Saturday. He's nowhere near as effective.
Yep.
So, you know, horses race to a pattern, and, you know, that's where their success lies. If you try to ride them outside that pattern or outside their comfort zone, so, you know, more often than not, they're nowhere near as effective.
Yeah, well, the sectionals can only be so good. Yeah.
Let's go back 7 days. Nature Strip. Nature Strip, everyone wants to tell you what a dominant on-speed runner he is. They try and hold him up. He goes off his head.
Yeah.
He don't. Rod Lyons comes out during the week and says he'll run in the Moyer Stakes at Moonee Valley, his next start. And guess what?
Let him run.
The foot down.
Yeah, let him run. What do you make of Arcadia Queen, Gator? Like, how good? We know she's very, very good, but how good?
Oh, I think it's extremely exciting is what it is. I mean, the first thing I do when I see her win like that, she's pretty soft late. Jamie's pretty soft on her late. She still had a decisive margin. She's run 10.84, 4 to the 200 off a strong speed. You know, they were a length and a half nearly above the class average early, so they weren't crawling, yet she's still been able to scoot home 10.84 and then 11.64, hence the fast overall time. You know, if you want to be giving a track record a scare, you've got to be fast for a long time, and that's exactly what she is, which will win you a hell of a lot of races, I would have thought.
Yeah. So she'll go next up into the Everest, Arcadia Queen, and then maybe the Golden Eagle?
I'd say for sure. She won't need another run now. She's had a 1,300 lead up. She doesn't need any more to come back to 1,200. So she'll have a nice little freshen up. They'll keep her happy. They know she's on the right leg. Every box is ticked going into an Everest.
And Chris Waller was saying, Ronnie, that he hasn't pressed the button yet.
Well, if that's the fact, she is exciting. Yeah. He'd had a fit enough for 1,300, so that tells you he'd done a lot of work with her. But match practice is a great thing, and now that she's had a match practice run, I'm expecting we're going to see better.
Gemsong was good up along the inside, Glenn.
Yeah, it was. Stewart's questioned the amount of vigour shown by Nashra Willer there, but he said, I'm not going to be flogging it all the way down the straight. And he said he even, you know, shifted back towards the inside that he said was the fast lane on the day. If he wanted to be kind on it, you just let it drift out six or seven off the fence and get into the quicksand. Yeah. But he went back to the faster period of faster ground, and he's got a good first up record, Gemsong, so it just continues his solid form.
A good Epsom trial. He's an Epsom horse for sure, more so than probably an Eagle horse. He's a four-year-old, so he's eligible for the Eagle, but the Epsom looks a lovely race for him.
Yeah. The other one's 7.5 million.
Well, it's not bad bucks, is it? He might run in both.
Why not? Why not? And what about your old mate Tom Melbourne, mate? How did he look? He normally goes all right, fresh.
He does, but he needs inside draws. He just a lunatic from wide draws. He just doesn't do his best from out there.
Disappointing runners for the day. One of them would have been Baller.
Yeah, well, you know, he won a nothing race the previous week. I was surprised he was in the market.
Okay.
He struggled home in steady time the week before. And I know
Didn't Baller run better time than Libertini?
No, nowhere near it.
Libertini ran one, you know, and the other thing, Baller 1,300.
Yeah.
About 1,200 finds it out.
Right. Okay. Must have been another horse I was getting mixed up with on 1,353.53. We'll be taking your calls. We look forward to them as always. And also, got the text messages coming in, so keep them coming. All your queries from the weekend, your thoughts on Arcadia Queen, 0419-767-272. 0419-767-272 as we approach 7:30. Enticing Star to run in the Golden Pendant. That will be in 3-week break then to the Everest, Ronnie.
Yeah, well, she's the next one. We're anticipating another Perth mare. So she'll be well. She'll be.
You might move there soon, Ronnie.
No, well, their record, these Perth horses, when they travel is, you know, their good ones are good. Yes. Their good ones are good, and she is good as well, and she will be in right in contention for that golden pendant.
And here's a bit of breaking news, TK.
Yes,
one of our listeners, Lizzie from La Perouse, spoke to Lit Racing this morning and has confirmed Castelvecchio is going to the Golden Rose and Josh Parr back on.
Okay. The Golden Rose, Josh Parr's back
on. Thank you for that, Lizzie.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you for that. Josh Parr, geez, he was nice to Huey Bowman, wasn't he, after kicking home bivouac, that he doesn't like taking the rides under these circumstances, but he'll take the cash anyway and the victory. But Hugh Bowman, he's expected back next week, isn't he, Huey?
Yep, he's
1 week for a broken finger.
It's amazing how you can, you know, operate. They operate on collarbones now. It'd be the old days, you used to just sit there for a month and 5 weeks till it healed itself. But they pit them up now. They're back within a couple of weeks. So it's amazing.
It's that time of year, isn't it?
Yes.
Where the big prize money, the big races are up for grabs. It's now 9:31 on the program, which means it's sporting headlines time with Jamie Rogers.
It's 9:30. Good morning. I'm Jamie Rogers. A biological patch that could repair a damaged heart is being developed in groundbreaking Australian research that uses stem cells to grow new heart muscle. A 76-year-old man has died from serious head injuries after trying to avoid a magpie attack near Wollongong. Witnesses said they saw the bird swoop, causing the cyclist to leave the bike path. A stunning display of paper daisies in the Australian Botanic Garden has been trampled by people walking into the garden to take selfies. The garden beds have been badly trampled, with many tall stalks completely snapped and parts of the garden bed reduced to dust. The Sydney Swifts thrashed the defending two-time champions, the Sunshine Coast Lightning, 64-47 in the Super Netball Grand Final. Sam Wallace nailed 40 of her 44 attempts on goal to win the MVP award. The Boomers' 63-year quest for a maiden's medal continues after failing to France 67-59 in another heartbreaking bronze medal game. The Aussies have now lost all five of their bronze medal games at Olympic or World Championship level. And Manchester City has received its first defeat in 19 English Premier League games, going down to Norwich 3-2. Liverpool now sit 5 points clear of Man City on the top of the EPL ladder.
Sky Sports Radio features a week of the best country and provincial cup action. Thursday, the Northern Rivers has the Lismore Cup, plus the sprint feature with every race for showcase prize money. Catch the Lismore Cup tips Thursday morning at 10 on Sky Sports Radio.
I'm Michelle Payne. I'm a jockey. I'm available for track work.
She had a dream. It's not just about speed. It's about patience.
The girl's never going to win the Melbourne Cup.
To fulfil her destiny.
I want to ride Group 1s. I want to be the best.
You're not ready.
I'm ready, Dad.
From director Rachel Griffiths comes the inspirational true story of Michelle Payne.
Can I do this?
I know the horse can.
Teresa Palmer, Sam Neill, and Stevie Payne as himself. Ride like a girl in cinema September 26.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Excludes Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
We are all listening, David Gator, or David Gately, but called Gator from Melbourne. Ronnie Duffersey, they call him Duff, and Glenn Munsey, they call him Munns, all joining us on the panel for Punters Postmortem. We've got our callers online. We'll get to them now on 13 53 53 53. If you've got a query, Phil the Grocer, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to ask, I've got two things. How does the track manager or the team there create a bias? If it's a naturally grown product, or like grass, how do you create a bias?
Well, the track manager doesn't create a bias. The track itself is biased in the way that it doesn't permit, and it is nearly de rigueur. Rose Hill, hard track, rail 6 metres, sprint races on speed runners are very, very hard to beat. It's just a pure physical thing that if you're running times, the horses back in the field that have got to go round them and go further can't run significantly faster times than the horses that are three lengths in front of them.
Oh, because they've got to run further. Okay, so then, so therefore, it's not a problem that somebody's created. It's just a natural phenomenon, if you will.
No, yeah. Not quite. I mean, it's created by the moving of the rail.
Yep. Okay.
So there's better patches of ground means.
Well, tell me the last horse to come from back in the field in an 1100 metre race at Rose Hill.
No, I can't.
On a good track.
There's not many of them.
All right. And the other thing is, a couple of my customers came in, and we talk a bit of racing in here, and one of them got gadding, and they did a boost, and they got it up to 199. And he, 199 one, he had $5 on it, and another one had $10 at 130, and they both said the same thing. How did people miss? And I did, but it was a Group 1 winner in Western Australia, and if they'd been racing in the West, then the favourite and that and Gadding would have been closer together. So what made it so far apart in the betting market?
Phil the Grocer, you weren't the only person who missed it. Most of the country missed it, but you got two lucky customers there. Gator will explain all that.
Yeah, look, never missed a winner after the race. Still betting at 100%. But look, before the race, I could see a case, because that's sort of what I do. I sort of make a case for and against each horse. On his Scales of Justice form, he came off a forgive run, but just at this elite level, I didn't picture him, running by a flying Scales of Justice, who says the run's on the board this prep, and certainly Mystic Journey. So I think I rated about some sort of a 7 or 8 in the pecking order. He wasn't on the radar there. Could you make some sort of case? Absolutely, on those form lines. Could you back him? Well, I couldn't, and well done if you had a little play. As you've said, that's awesome.
And good on you, Phil the Grocer. Nice to hear from you. The colours that Gadding had on, are they the same colours of the mighty Kingston Town? No, well, they're the same colours, Glenn.
But you can register similar colours in different states.
But the McAuliffe stable say they've had it. They've had those colours a lot longer than the Kingston Town colours.
Yeah, so David Haynes was the owner of Kingston Town, but these colours have been in Western Australia for a very, very long while.
Yeah. I think they're his family colours, I think.
You can register colours in different states.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that you can register the Kingston Town colours in different states.
Northern Territory, wherever.
Okay. 13:53:53. What happens when they travel in a state?
Well, they still carry
you can use colours, but you
just change the cap.
Yeah, so if you've got a big stable, so I'd say Gay Waterhouse would register her colours in Victoria.
Nationwide.
Yeah, pretty well nationwide. I suppose David Haynes and Kathy Haynes don't. Their colours aren't used much these days. They mightn't have. I'd say they'd still be.
Well, they say they had those colours before the Kingston Town came around.
Yeah, but they mightn't have been registered in Perth though.
Yeah, there's two sets of colours now. I think it's the chap's name is GG Racing, not the GG in Tasmania. The GG, the New Zealand gentleman who Mike Moroney trains most of his horses. His colours are purple, white stars. Purple cap with white stars, and Denise Martin's colours are purple with white stars.
Thoroughbreds, Star Thoroughbreds.
Yep. And when they have two runners, more often than not, the second one carries a purple cap.
Right. Okay.
As Noir did on Saturday, but it just doesn't have stars on the cap. They can be colours that are very, very similar,
mm-hmm.
And maybe only the cap or something on the sleeves or an armband. It's the only
little bit different. Let's keep taking some calls. Hi, Albert.
Good morning, boys. Albert from Kymer. What a thrill. We were at Shell Harbour Tab, got a draw in the Kosciuszko, and we've gone with Handle the Truth. 42 punters, boys, and a lot of them battlers, and it's just fantastic for Chris, who runs the tab with her daughter, Brooke, and Brenda. A lot of these people, they really look after him. So we're in the Kosciuszko, Keith Dryden's wonderful trainer. The horse has got good form, but what a thrill. There's some of the punters there in the Punters Club, guys. They go there, they can only have a dollar, on horse, and sometimes they're there for 2 or 3 hours because they're lonely. Some of them in wheelchairs. This is just fantastic for the guys. But Shell Harbour,
fantastic.
Really, really, they're that excited. We were all there on Saturday. We were shaking and trembling. Out of 240,000 tickets, I think there was, we got one, and we got a good chance in Handle the Truth. I was lucky. I stayed over there because the people are lovely. I've raced a lot of horses. I had Nick and Nita in on Saturday. We bred single gays and that, but these are real battlers, most of them, and just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And congratulations to Peter Volandis and that for the Kosciuszko, because it's such a thrill. But this tab over Shell Harbour, guys, hey, it's spotless, absolutely fantastic, and the people there do a great job. But our 42 punters in the club, what a thrill.
What a great story, and it'd be a better story if he can come out for you. But
$11, Ronnie, Handle the Truth.
They're in good hands with Keith Dryden, that's for sure. The timing will be right, and the horse has definitely got a chance. So
there didn't look to be a lot of horse trading, Ronnie, with the Kosciuszko. It was all done pretty cleanly, wasn't it? All the slots are already gone.
Yeah, I think this year they've changed it a little bit, and I think it's changed for the better, where the slot holders at least got to get 40%.
Right.
And last year, it was a little bit of wheeling and dealing going on. I think a few of them were cut a bit short there. Yeah, so I think that's put the cap on at 40%, and obviously your starting point, say, with a Victorum, you know, I'm happy to take 40. I don't want any more than that because I know he's one of the favourites, and the deals get done quicker.
And that indicates that all the deals are done, all the slots are done. Adam, good morning to you.
Yeah, good day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, really well, Adam.
Question for Ronnie. Casa Vecchia, Golden Rose. I think Rail True has got to be an improver.
Oh, he'll be an improver. It's just whether he runs out of ground.
Gets back a long way, Ronnie.
He does. He's got that horrible racing style, hasn't he? And even before the turn there on Saturday, I thought, this is going to run last.
It takes him a while to get pumped up, doesn't it?
A while.
It takes not him like you, TK. You're a couple of
no, I spring out of the barriers and paddle late.
Yeah. No, he'll run home hard again in obviously the Golden Rose, but he's a miler, isn't he? He's a mile plus. It was a good run, and the track didn't suit him and all that. And probably the tempo didn't suit him. All those things are relevant, but it's very hard for him back to 1,400 second up. But his class will take him a long way.
And there you go. Thank you, Adam, for your call. Let's keep taking calls. Hi, Pat. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Look, two things. Kosciuszko. I've got shares in horses with Joe Cleary, one of the great trainers.
Yes.
And, look, if Jess Taylor rides my horse in the country and provincials, I'd like Jess Taylor to ride my horse in the Kosciuszko, and I think
the owner, she can.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is a lot of the owners, they use the country and provincial jockeys in the heats, and then when it comes to final, they put the Huey Bowmans and the McAvoys and whatever.
Yeah.
I think it should be only eligible for provincial and country jockeys to make it fair. They're the guys that do their miles every week, and then when it comes the big day, we're going to put Huey Bowman.
Well, Ronnie, Paddy, but what if they've got no hope in the Kosciuszko, right? And they're knocking back seven rides back at home where they could be riding six winners.
Oh, well, that's different. But I think
How's it different? That can happen.
Well, that can happen, but I think they're the ones that do the miles. And anyway, that's just an opinion.
But you're the owner. You can make your own mind up.
Yeah, I know. But the owners should be a bit fairer with these jockeys. I know it's a big race, but if it was only eligible for only provincial and country jockeys, where it's only eligible for provincial and country horses, but it's not for jockeys.
Look, I'd stick with them, Pat.
Surely Benny Looker's going to ride Victorum. Noble Boy's up for grabs. You'd think Jason Collard would stick with Star Boy, who he rode Saturday. Kobe Jennings will ride Bobbing. He rides it all the time. Hippo has to make a decision whether he rides Bellflyer or Tarbert, and he rides them when they come to town. It's not as if, you know...
They're not all getting dumped, is what you're saying.
Aren't going to be the first time they see these horses on Kosciuszko Day. When they race in town, normally, these jockeys are riding them
anyway. Yeah, yeah. So they're city-class horses, they're running in the Kosciuszko, and a lot of their lead-up form is done by city-class jockeys. It's as simple as that.
We talk about, you know, luck and everything like that. Up Trumps has got a run for Joey Cleary. Now, the gentleman that owns Up Trumps yep. also straps Noble Boy.
Straps
so hasn't he got a decision to make on Kosciuszko Day? What does he do? And he straps up Trumps as well because it's his own.
So Noble Boy's second favourite, I think, Glenn.
Yeah, second pick at $4.60. So he's got a massive decision to make. Does he strap his own and up Trumps as a $15 chance and stick with his own horse? Or does he strap the horse that he normally straps as well, Noble Boy?
Change nothing.
Not a bad decision to make.
No, that's a good story. There's so many good stories, aren't they? Coming from the slot holders as well after that Kosciuszko sweepstakes straw. Hi, Philip. Good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Philip.
Just regarding Gadding, I was watched the Channel 7 coverage on yep. Saturday at home.
Yep.
And they interviewed Darren McAuliffe, or whatever his name is.
Yep. The trainer.
And
yep.
Trainer, yeah. Yep. And he said that those colours, his grandfather had them over 70 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've been in the family ever since. And he said Kingston Town colours are slightly different.
Yeah. Okay.
Could be in the markings, but that was his words.
Yeah, good on you, Philip. Thanks very much. Did you find it? 100 to 1?
Mate, I wished I did.
No, oh, I wished I did. I wished I did. Topical tip with the Ashes going on. Was it a bit of a talking point, Gator, down there at the track, the colours?
Look, it wasn't a big one. As far as the...
One like Kingston Town.
Yeah, that's right. As far as the context of the day and the big price, there was more the talking point. And, so it does boast a, you know, a fourth to Arcadia Queen, so... Anyway, onwards and upwards. I don't think we 100 one next time.
No doubt. And when you think about, we were talking about Mr. Quickie earlier on. Where do you think the ultimate role for Mr. Quickie will be? Will it be a Cox Plate Gator?
Well, on that run, he's got a seat at the table in all those features. It was a phenomenal return. No two ways of, no other way to look at it. Ran straight past some serious horses like Hartnell and Codigny. So he could go that way. Obviously, he'll get into a Caulfield Cup with a relatively lightweight as well. Interestingly, he and Bow and Declare clashed in Queensland, didn't they? You'd have to say Bow and Declare was arguably a slightly better run. Then he went on to beat the older horses and thrash them. So it's an easy line to draw to say he'd be competitive.
It's very hard for the... We rave about these four-year-olds when they resume after Queensland and whatever. It's very hard for them to get through a spring... And it's a bit of a nothing. Even someone like Chris Waller with all his four-year-old mares, he keeps calling them fillies because they're still young. And you, even a young star, you know, she had a nothing four-year-old year and she resumes as a five-year-old. Everyone says, hello, can we just start trusting her again? And things like that. It's a four-year-old's a very tough year for these horses.
Four-year-old mares used to have a terrific record in the Caulfield Cup, didn't they?
No, we kept running off Ethereal. Well,
okay.
We kept running off one or two horses, I reckon.
All right.
Look, I don't know if anyone else has got a different theory about it.
But that's all changed now, hasn't it, with the influx of the Europeans. So you look at this just thinking, Ronnie.
Yeah.
You know, responded great under pressure, goes to the Gloaming, the Spring Champion, the VRC Derby, probably, but Gay's not ruling out having a throw at the stumps in the Melbourne Cup.
Well,
But how do you beat the Europeans?
Yeah, well, it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. You know, they're coming over in numbers. It's got to a stage where we might be saying how we're going to beat them in the Cox Plate because we haven't got a champion. You know, we haven't got a Winx anymore.
Mm.
So it could be there. The Cox Plate could be a European race as well.
A quick one for Gator here, Adrian. Gator, any news on where Loving Gabby resumes? Did hear she aimed at the Empire Row Stakes on Derby Day over a mile. What lead-up races would she contest in the lead-up?
She's been in the noms the last few weeks
in
Melbourne and they've elected to keep the powder dry. They're in two minds about which race to resume at Caulfield next Saturday. So that's where you'll see her next Saturday at Caulfield. As to which distance, they're still making their mind up. In fairness to Youngstar, though, Ronnie, she did run very well in the Caulfield Cup last year and then was the first Aussie home in the Melbourne
Cup. In the Melbourne Cup.
So, 100%, but I mean, she might be better again this year.
Yeah.
It's just that four-year-old year early on, she was just poking away in those woke for ages. And I'm not saying that she didn't run well, but I'm just saying it'll be interesting to see how she leaps to a five-year-old now, whether she can just go that couple of lengths better.
Can we get Gator's thoughts on Scale of Justice on the weekend. Was he given no chance to win by racing where he did, Bruce from Boambi East?
I think everyone on the planet before the race mapped him either leading or sitting second, and he sat second. Speed was strong, 1.2 lengths above Group 1 average, so they did not crawl at all. Leader sat on his back, the winner sat on his back and ran by him. I couldn't find an excuse. He didn't run poorly. He's been beaten two lengths. But I guess if your expectation's higher, then he's disappointed you. But he's run okay. Gadding had his back and ran by him. Simple as that.
Right. Okay. Hey, boys, in that style that Bivouac won on Saturday, if you're the Blue Army, do you keep Josh Parr on or do you return to Huey?
Well, you won't be keeping Josh Parr on because he's accepted the ride on Castle Vecchio on the Golden Rose.
Okay. No, Huey comes back.
That's been answered for you.
Yeah, Huey. Also, a question for Gator. What is Midterm's grand final, if known?
Look, he's a dead-set stayer. He's just not a super fast one. So he hasn't got an elite group one in. He ran very well, didn't he, in last year's Metrop from memory? That's probably his mark. He's a couple of lengths off the elite.
All right, a couple of lengths off the elite there. Anthony's on the open line. Hi, Anthony.
Good morning, guys. Great show, as always. I'm amazed with these new races, for the Sydney Carnival over the Melbourne Cup Carnival time. You used to get very average horses running in Sydney. Now you've got the good ones split between the two, which is great for our racing. But, Glenn, could you tell me how many tickets there are in the Mikosiosko when they sell them?
They've sold out.
They sold more than last year.
I did actually have the exact number of tickets.
Did they say 240,000 tickets were sold or something like that?
No, I didn't think there was that many. No, it's
might have been out. Dollars worth.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was.
It's close to 200,000.
200. Yeah, I think it was 200,000.
Oh, geez, you're being hard on me.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit of difference between 200 and 240, TK. It's 20%. Yeah. You walk in and ask for a 20% pay rise every time you go in there because you don't think it's that much.
I get the big fend off. Don't worry. So you can sell as many as possible, quite clearly.
The ticket sales are the generation of the prize money.
Yeah,
correct.
The race was put on to pay for itself.
It's a self-funded race.
That's the idea.
And then it's paid for itself.
So
as long as they sell two, I think they've got to sell around 200 to pay for the race. And that's exactly what they did.
I'm getting a message here saying 215 they sold.
215. I'm even more right now than I was before.
Why? So 215 for 240.
Yeah, that's a lot closer than you told me, not that many.
I said 200.
Right.
Yeah. So 215. You know, so 15 difference instead of...
I'm creeping 25. Closer.
Yeah, good. Dave Warner will get a run shortly too. He's closer to getting a run because he hasn't got any for his last 8 digs.
When is Huey back and how did he break his finger, Grant from Richmond? He did it at barrier trials this time last week, I think.
I think he sees the doctor today.
Doctor today.
He fell off a track work. I think it was a track work. He may have landed the wrong way and broke his finger.
True Blue, he says the bloke who straps Noble Boy and owns the other horse will be leaving the girth strap a little bit loose on Noble Boy.
Up Trumps is actually in at Warwick Farm on Wednesday.
He won't be True Blue.
And for that gentleman, Nash Rawilla will ride Up Trumps on Wednesday. And when it won its previous start, it was ridden by Huey Bowman. And its previous run to that was ridden by Huey Bowman.
Let's get back to the open line. Hi, Cam.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, terrific.
I've actually got horses with that stable over in WA, Gadding Stable, Darren McAuliffe.
Yep.
And, mate, they are exceptional. It was my first step into shares in horses. And, mate, they are unbelievable. The racing over there is just amazing. They don't bullshit you, language. You know, they tell you if the horse is going to be any good. They breed their own horses out of their stock. And, mate, it just shows you that anyone can get into the game. I actually looked at Gadding. it was between him and another horse, and I ended up going with the other horse who won a trial, and that was it.
Oh, no.
But, mate, they are just exceptional, and Darren McAuliffe is an amazing trainer. I think you'll hear more of him in the future. And, it's just what Gadding did, it was just it was unbelievable. It was really good to see for WA Racing as well. And him and Kev Berry, impressive racing mates, go a long way to find a better syndicate. I know all the big syndicates get the raps, but impressive racing over in WA is just amazing.
Yeah. There you go. Well done. Good on you, Cam. Well, Ronnie freeloads over there in the summer carnival. I'm yet to get there for the summer carnival over there in Perth, but big wrap there for the McAuliffe stable, who are certainly, well, you got to say they're having a great spring carnival after causing that massive upset in the Maccabi Diva. Let's get to, I've got a couple of queries here I'd just like to clear up if we possibly can. Guys, any news on microphones return, Ronnie?
Yeah, they're keeping their cards close to their chest there.
Ooh, what does that mean?
It's just looking like the Coolmore's going to be his main target, doesn't it? It's they're biding their time, and it sounds like the Coolmore for him.
Glenn, our listeners are... Herb says, there you go, Mr. Quickie and Cox Plate. There's an omen. I'll let you think about that. Terry, forget about beating the imports. Try just getting into the race first. Cheers, the foot from Newcastle. Yeah, it's not going to be easy to get into the race. Ronnie, half the spots will go to, well, more than half the spots will go to imports, won't they?
Yeah, time will tell. It's too early for me to be dissecting. Wait till they land on our shores and then start doing the form.
Morning, fellas. Gator, I'm going to do a Kurt. Tavistock Dancer ran a week or two ago. I've been following it. Doesn't seem to be putting in, so to speak. Anything wrong with him? Have you heard? Needs it longer? Cheers, Burger. Tavistock Dancer.
Don't know if there's anything wrong with him. The run last week was interesting in that he just did a bit wrong, didn't he? I mean, he wanted to sort of lug in behind them. So, you know, either there's some sort of soundness issue or some sort of lack of application issue. But he looked terrific in that first prep. So I guess the next run will probably tell us where he's at third up.
All right, we'll just put that down in the black book there. Hello, right, Kurt.
Message from Chris Roots. Yep. Microphone's due to resume in the Roman consul.
Thank you very much for that, Chris. Yeah, and such a great week coming up with George Main, the T-Rose, the Kingston Town, the Bill Ritchie in the shorts with Santa and Elaine, Pirata, Osborne Bulls, Red Zell, Classique Legend, Sunlight Graph. So plenty to look forward to as we look forward to Kurt's call every Monday morning. Hello, Kurt.
Morning, Terry, Dave, Munns, Ronnie, how are you, boys?
G'day, Kurt.
Good, thank you, Kurt.
Hey, boys, I heard from a good source and I made sure I wasn't stitched up that Bruce McAvaney is staying in Paddo. I just wanted to send a shout-out to the special one, mate. If he's ever up for a Frosty Amber on a weeknight or whenever, come down to the Captain Cook special one and be much appreciated to get to know you, mate.
All right, then you go and take a box of Panadol with you too, Bruce. Yeah.
Have you ever met him, Ronnie?
Yeah, lovely man. Lovely man.
Is he as special as they say?
He's a special man.
Oh, he'd love you, Kurt.
Ronnie, if you went like this to him, do you know the section rules of the winner of the 1946 Melbourne Cup? How long would it take him?
Well, I wouldn't get in that debate with him because he's too good for me.
Nah.
I don't know how he'd handle the Captain Cook, though, Kurt.
No.
Hang on.
He might be more of a Bellevue.
Yeah, I think so.
You haven't been to the Cook lately, mate. If you haven't got $10, you can't buy a schooner these days. Everything's moving up in the world, Munns.
Yeah.
Mm. Just not battlers like me. Just doesn't suit me.
Now, have you got Gator's been researching all week, Kurt? He wants a query.
Terry, I've got a great story. I saw this the other day. My mate showed me on his device because I hardly watch TV.
Okay, we'll tell you whether it's a great story. You've got a story. We'll work out whether it's great, okay?
I'll put odds on that you would say.
All right, okay.
I can't remember the bloke, but everyone will know him. Ronnie, do you remember the rider of R1 in the Melbourne Cup? Anyhow, you know the Hot Seat Boys, the millionaire with Eddie Maguire?
Yes.
He was in it. Ah, oh, it was unreal. If anyone can just get it, I'm sure you can these days, get it. The jockey of Arwen, the best bit of it, he won the money.
George Hanlon trained it, and it was Nowra spelt backwards, and I don't know the jockey.
Yeah. Anyhow, he was on there, and he answered at least, just going from now, because I saw it a couple of days ago, at least 6 questions, and he won big money, like 120.
Harry White.
It was so good, boys, and he had Eddie on a hook as well. He was taking the piss out of him big time. It was unreal, mate.
Right. Have you got anything for any of our...
Yeah, look, Dave.
Experts. Yeah. Gator?
I'm listening.
Okay.
Gator, there was two horses that I've been waiting for ages to see, and they come back there on the weekend. Harwin and Parsifal. What did you think yourself, Gator?
I thought Parsifal was terrific. Measured up really well, threw on the inside, beaten by a good one. It took the winner to run a 10.80 home to beat it, and the quickest of the day, along with Mr. Quickie. The other one, Tarwin, the more you watch the replay, the more you could argue should have won the race. Held up hopelessly, flew home against the race pattern. It was on pace, dominated, and he was race fastest time as well. So a very good return, but gee, it was a lot of hard luck stories for me on Saturday, and he was one of those.
Tarwin is my biggest bright aspect for this spring. I just can't wait to see how he goes and what he contests and that. And also, do you reckon Mike Moroney's got the pips a bit that how he gave away Parsifal?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I know the horse is absolutely airborne under the new care. Whether or not it's a change of scenery, you know, which can refresh horses.
Sure.
But this horse is absolutely flying. He surprised me on Saturday. He was able to measure up and beat home a lot of group competitive horses.
Yeah, and Dave, another horse I've been following ever since day one, Rocks the Castle. How good is he going, mate?
Well, he's a ripper. What he does is he can sit on a pretty solid speed and kick off it, and he's got a great will to win as well. So he gets in a dogfight, and he wants to win it. So it's a good recipe if you've got early speed, you've got tenacity, and you can run pretty solid overall figures. He could be competitive. You know, I know the Ripper Clark's come up too quick. I mean, he could run okay in that without winning it. He's that sort of horse. He'll be a real good bread and butter horse, placed correctly, and he'll build a terrific strike rate.
And isn't it unreal how the waging agents don't agree with us, Dave? Because he just the price just keeps getting better, mate. Two Wednesdays last Saturday. Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, I think it's a pretty common theme. You know, if they're trained by all the way from Hayes Dabernick or Chris Waller or whatever, I think that can often get you an extra point or two, and it even filters down to some riders. Punters tend to gravitate to some jockeys over others, but if the horse is a good athlete and the trainer knows the horse, they tend to keep winning, don't they?
Kurt, one of our listeners says Brendan Clements was the jockey on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Well, that was him, and just I left a little bit out of the story. He had his old mate with him, and he was famous as well. I forgot his name, but he was a famous trainer. Look, just go have a look at it.
Okay.
It's so heartwarming, you know?
All right. Well, that's terrific. Thanks, Kurt. Thanks for your call.
Oh, beauty.
That was the result.
Yeah, well, I cut him off.
Those players in the 10:32 group, if you'd like to...
just get to the back of the line.
Glenn, give us your horse to follow, buddy.
Well, it was hard to miss it Saturday. She's dyslexic.
Yeah. Just couldn't get out. Still waiting to try and get out. Ronnie?
Shadow Hero.
Shadow Hero.
It's been a love affair for a while, that horse, Ronnie.
He's a serious three-year-old stayer.
Okay. Yeah. Gator?
Well, Mr. Quickie was the obvious. Yeah. One less obvious. Ran ninth in the last race and never got a crack at them. Still ran home quickly. Horse called Sully or Bob up at a price.
Sully.
Yeah, he got trapped on the fence there, and when he went to get up, we got off the fence coming to the turn, he sort of had nowhere to go, Gator.
Did I pack that in a derby?
Two in a row now. Yep. Yeah, he ran well in the derby last year, second, I think.
Yeah. What about Tenley? What did you make of Tenley's run, Gator?
Should have won. Either that or Miss Old Mantra. I think they Quinella the race with even luck. Tenley was only clear very late and rocketed home. Again, it was a better race to be nearer the speed. So if you're on either of those, you've got a sob story.
I know. But that's its pattern of racing too, which always means it could be a bit of a hard luck story, Tenley. Gator, thank you for that.
Been a pleasure.
We gave Gator a bit of a couple of punches around the head there with Kurt, which was okay. Thanks, Ronnie. Hit him straight, Glenn.
Thanks, TJ.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you to Glenn Munsey. Thank you to Ronnie Duffsey. Thanks to our callers. Thanks to the Gator from Melbourne as well. And we're back again next Monday morning from 9 o'clock. It's now 10:04, news and sporting headline time with Jamie Rogers.